Rosi, we have the incredible Zuchus to Parshas Bo this week. So the Torah, of course, continues in the dramatic story of the Makos. So the Torah relates, this is in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed, towards the end of the Parsha, really at the end of the Parsha. Torah relates in dramatic detail, Makos Bechoros, the last of the 10 plagues, the death of the firstborn. And so the Pasuk says, chapter 12, verse 30, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed, Vayokam Paro Lailo, Paro got up in the middle of the night, Hu v'chalav adav, Paro himself, all of his servants, v'chol Mitzrayim, in all of Egypt, v'tihit sa'aka gidola b'mitzrayim, there was a great, great screaming and yelling in Egypt, ki ein bayis asher ein shames, for there was no home in which someone did not die as a result of Makos Bechoros, of the death of the firstborn. So a dramatic pasuk. So you can imagine, apparently again, the tranquility of the night was shattered by the screams of the Egyptians. For there was not one home which was spared from the ravages of this Makos. And Rashi HaKadosh comments on something very simple. Rashi says, Vayakam Paro Laila, Paro got up in the middle of the night. Rashi says, Mimitaso. He got up from his bed. So Rabbi Nachman Mendel of Kotsk, Kotzke Rebbe, asks a very simple question. Ma ba Rashi lahashmi'enu? What exactly is it that Rashi is coming to teach us? So understand, Torah tells us that Paro got up in the middle of the night. Okay, Paro got up at night. And Rashi adds on, oh, by the way, he got up from his bed. Okay, shkoyach, he was sleeping on the bed, he was sleeping on the couch, he was sleeping on a cot, he was sleeping on the ground. What does it matter? What is Rashi coming to add? And the Kotzker says something absolutely amazing. El Rashi merameis lanu es ofyov sha'osa Rasha. Rashi is coming to give us an insight into who Paro was. Paro ra'a v'nochach shekol hasra'osav shal Moshe niskaimo b'min luam. You see, Paro knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was 9 for 9. Everything he had warned about, everything he had foretold, the details of every single Makkah had come to fruition. Paro was forewarned about Makkas Bechoros. He was told what was going to happen and how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen. He was told that Bechatzos HaLaila, in midnight, Ani Yotzi B'soch Mitzrayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who says, I'm going to come, the angel of death is going to come, in the midst of Egypt. Paro knew what was going to happen. Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, Umeis Kol Bechar Be'eretz Yisrael Bechar Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu even says to Paro, lest you think that this Makkah is going to just affect others and not impact you. He says explicitly, and every firstborn will die in Egypt. Mi bechor paro, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh, ultimately again to the firstborn of the servants and slaves. So Paro himself is explicitly told that not only will this Makkah come, but the death of the firstborn is going to directly impact your family. And yet amazingly enough, what happens? V'harasha azeh, lo chas v'lo zah, pashat es begadav, Va'ala al hamita lishon. What does Paro do that night at Makos Bechoros? He undresses, puts on his pajamas, as the famous song goes. He gets into bed and he goes to sleep for the night. And apparently, he's able to fall asleep because the pasuk says, "Vayakam Paro laila hu v'chol avadav." He was startled. He was awoken by the screams, which means he fell into a slumber. He fell asleep. Says the Kotzker. What does it mean, Paro? How are you falling asleep? Moshe Rabbeinu just told you what is going to unfold this night in Egypt. And yet you're falling asleep. You're slumbering so easily, so peacefully. Says the Kotzker. This is the insight into Paro. Belev shakit, belev moro pachad. Says the Kotzker something absolutely amazing. Paro was probably suffering from cognitive dissonance. Paro understood that what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was correct, but yet he refused to believe it. Paro understood that what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was correct because he saw that every single thing that Moshe had foretold indeed came to pass. It wasn't the pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu was off on some details, Moshe Rabbeinu misspoke here or there. At the end of the day, whatever Moshe said was going to happen occurred because Moshe was the mouthpiece of God. Yet Paro did not want to internalize this information. Paro did not want to believe what was being told to him. And he was able to cognitively disassociate ultimately from this information. I know what I heard, and I'm not even debating its truthfulness, but it doesn't apply to me. And a person sometimes could cognitively disassociate in such an incredibly dramatic fashion that even as their world is falling down around them, they can fall into a deep slumber. They could put their head on the pillow and go to sleep, ignoring all of the realities around them. But the truth is, my friends, this is not a new thing. Because already in Parshas Miketz, when we're introduced to Paro again over there, of course a different Pharaoh. But remember again at the beginning of Parshas Miketz, where Paro has his dreams, dramatic and traumatic dreams. Dreams of large, healthy cows, emaciated cows swallowing up large and healthy cows, strong and robust stalks of wheat being swallowed up by emaciated and withered pieces of wheat. And the Torah says something amazing. The Torah says that when Paro sees this, Vayikatz Paro, Paro awakens with a start. And then what happens? He falls back asleep. So there's the first dream. He falls back asleep. He has the second dream. Vayikatz Paro v'inechalom. Paro goes ahead and wakes up again. And then what does the Torah say? Vayhi baboker. Paro went back to sleep. So my friends, you understand. Paro has the first dream. He's startled. He wakes up. But he falls back asleep. He has a second dream. He's startled. He wakes up. But he falls back asleep. It's true. And the next morning, he's still bothered by the dreams. But Lamaisa, he slept. Because sometimes we just ignore the messages of life. Sometimes, even though the messages are being broadcasted, they're being yelled right into our ears. Nevertheless, we don't want to heed them. We don't want to listen. We don't want to internalize. I just want to go to sleep. I don't want to have to hear what God has to say. I don't want to hear what life has to say. I don't want to have to hear what others have to say. I like to live with my blinders. And I like to live the way that I'm living without interference. But my world is falling down all around me. I choose to put my head down on the pillow. Life is filled with messages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with us in all different kinds of ways. While it is true that the age of prophecy has ended for now, until Mashiach comes, but even in the absence of prophecy, there's nuanced prophecy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates to us through a variety of different circumstances. Sometimes it's circumstances in our relationships. Sometimes it's circumstances with our children. Sometimes it's circumstances in our career. Sometimes it's personalistic circumstances. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispers a message in my ear and he says, you know what? You're great. I love you. But you need to do things differently. You have to begin to turn things around. How many times in our life relationships do we run into difficulties, adversity, but yet we're unwilling to do things differently? I know I'm not parenting in the right way, but yet I can't stop doing the negative things. I know that I'm not being the supportive spouse I need to be, but I'm so set in my ways. My world is falling down around me. The message, the writing is on the wall. It's so clear that what I'm doing is detrimental. How many times do we convince ourselves that we're good the way we are, even though I know deep down I can be so much better? But I say to myself, this is who I am, this is what I am, this is the identity I've carved out for myself, that's it. And even when I see that it's not working, it's not going, it's not really advancing me, I'm underperforming, I'm not running on all cylinders, but I don't want to hear that message. So instead what I choose to do is put my head on the pillow and go back to sleep. You know, the real tragedy of Paro was not simply in his evilness. It wasn't simply in his unwillingness to let the Jews go. The tragedy of Paro was in his unwillingness to listen to the signs and to listen to the messages that were all around him. Instead, he just chose to go to sleep and ignore the messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was broadcasting directly into his heart, directly into his ears, directly into his soul. The same Paro that when he had the bad dream and he should have run out and awoken his advisors to say, guys, something dramatic is happening over here. We need to get on it right now. Instead, he goes back to sleep. It's the same Paro on the night of Makkos Bechoros. as his world is coming down around him, the jest goes back to sleep. Sometimes, Nebuch, our worlds come down around us. All different types of worlds, relationships worlds, personalistic worlds. And we have to find the courage to listen, to internalize, to heed, and to act on the message. Sometimes it's tempting to go to sleep, to put your head down on the pillow, to ignore the messages, and somehow delude myself that if I go to sleep, by the time I wake up the next morning, miraculously, everything will be okay. Paro thought that also. He went to sleep the night of Makas Bechoros, confident that some way, somehow, everything would be okay. But yet, Vayokam Paro Lailohu. Paro was awakened Mimitaso from his bed that night. The shrieks of his constituents and the broken hearts of the Egyptians jolted him out of bed and made him realize that he could no longer ignore the reality around him. Our goal is to never come to that point. We must be attentive to the messages of life that are all around us. We must find the courage to hear them and to heed them. We must avoid the temptation of laying our head down on the pillow, closing our eyes, going to sleep, and pretending that everything is okay. Paro made this catastrophic mistake and as a result, lost his nation, lost his people, lost his child. May we be Zochem Yerz Hashem to learn the courage to listen to the messages, avoid going to sleep, and finding the courage to change. Wishing everyone a good Erev Shabbos and a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh.